What's up, everybody? My name's JC, and welcome to My Lemonade, where we take a look at the sour things in life and try to make them that much sweeter. Today is going to be a day for gaming. So for individuals that are tuning into the podcast on the idea of either personal growth or entrepreneur aspects, this episode's not going to be for you. Today is going to be straight gaming. You can probably tell I'm a little sick. My voice is a little off, so I'm going to try my best to get through this as much as possible without coughing in your ear. But today we're going to be looking at Forza Horizon 4. So this is a game that's recently just launched onto Xbox as the sequel to Forza Horizon 3. And in previous, editions, kind of just to set the stage to the reason why I'm ranting. I always buy the biggest version when it comes to Forza. There's two main games that I always buy the best of the best. And that was either always Forza or Call of Duty. Now, Call of Duty, I'm not going to go too much into it, has changed a lot. And I don't even think I'm even buying Call of Duty this year. I didn't buy it last year. The only reason why I played it last year was because the person that I was license transferring with bought it, and it happened just to pop up on my machine. But I won't be buying it this year. So with that being said, it's back to Forza. For a lot of people that don't know me, a lot of people assume that my favorite genre is first-person shooters or FPSs, and it's not. It's actually racing. It's always been racing from the beginning all the way through. I need to always have a racing game on hand all the time. And that's why I pay the bigger bucks when it comes to the racing games, because that's my thing. That's the one and only thing I really like. But, so this time around, Forza Horizon 4, again, bought the Ultimate Edition to get all the fun, stuff tossed in and all that type of stuff. Not really tossed in, you're paying for it. But, yeah, so I definitely picked that up with the intention of, getting something good with it. And not really. So ultimately, when it comes to video games, and if you know me from the network, you probably heard me rant about pricing differences between America and Canada, and the fact that the conversion between the American dollar to the Canadian dollar, there's still more money on top of it, so it's not just a direct change by currency. So for I think down in the States, I think the top version for Forge is $100. For here in Canada, it's 130, which with taxes in, is probably about 100 and near 150, right? So it's a hefty amount to pay for one video game, right? Obviously, you're getting all the DLC stuff and added in after that, but it is one game, truly one game. So I'm going to go through, from some of the things that I noticed to kind of give you to set the stage. When I first heard about Forza Horizon 4 E3 back in June, I was just like, oh my God, yes, it's going to be amazing. I really loved Forza Horizon 3, like I truly did. It was through and through a fantastic game, fantastic experience, fantastic DLC, including Hot Wheels and Blizzard Mountain, right? So it was done well. So I always thought, like, after playing that game, how are you going to beat this? How are you going to, push things forward and get better than what this currently is? Because I thought it was the best. There'd be no way that you could beat Forza Horizon 3. And the answer is yes, no, they can't. so far they can't. But yeah, it's the whole aspect of seasons, and like that, just bringing that whole idea of like just a racing, but then seasons are added into it. So, in previous racing games, you'll have races that are snow. You'll have races that are autumn. You'll have races that are spring or summer, right? But with this ones, you'll have the same race that could have four variations based upon the weather that's being imprinted on it. That's amazing. That's amazing. And that's one thing I can say that the game holds at its core, that it still delivers on, right? So when I heard about it through E3, my first thought is 10 out of 10. This is going to be a great game, 10 out of 10. I don't even need to play the demo when it comes out. I'm going to love it. Then when I got it, first night I was sitting at about I think an 8 out of 10 by the end of it. The following night I was sitting at about 7 out of 10, and right now I'm sitting about a 6 out of 10. And we'll go into the whole reasons why, you know, the things that are faltering right now. And do understand that I know that in most cases these things are going to be fixed. But the issue that really bothers me is the fact that these issues weren't prevalent in Horizon 3. So what happened? That's my question, is what happened? Was the idea of the whole seasons aspect, did it push the project too far that they weren't able to tie things up with a nice bow at the end and they just kind of jammed it into the market? Or what happened? How were you able to do it in Forza Horizon 1, 2, and 3 without these issues? But now in Forza 4, it seems like it's more than what Forza Horizon 3 had, but more issues. So I don't understand that. So the first thing, we'll just go off the bat. I just kind of wrote down, kind of as I was contemplating and thinking about it and how things went. The first thing is car control. In the previous renditions of the game, what I would do is just go into an event. If I didn't have a car for that event, I'd merely buy the car they told me that I probably should. They usually give you like a good 15 cars you could pick from. I'd pick usually the best one. I pay for it, and I basically move forward. That doesn't seem to really be the ultimate case here. It seems like they want you to buy the car, modify the car, then do the race. Which, I just don't understand that. Why don't you set up your events to be set for the car at its stock ratio? If somebody wants to put the extra money into it after that to get better times or whatever have you, right? If it's skill points, the same thing. Get better skill points. You know, then let them do that. Don't force somebody into doing it from the beginning. And how do they force someone into doing it? Can you still get through all the races on the stock cars? Yep. Yep, you can. Is it a little bit difficult at times? Yep, for sure. One of the main reasons being, it almost feels like they took every single car and placed them on the lowest budget tire you could possibly get. Like, imagine, you know, buying a Ferrari and going to, you know, a tire shop, and they'd be like, well, you need Pirellis. And they're just like, I don't want Pirellis. I want Hankooks. I don't know. Or can't even think of, you know, Goodyears. Like, I can't even think of, like, low brand ones. We're not talking about Toyo Falcon or Pirellis. We're talking about the mid-range to low. On these, some of these vehicles, it doesn't work. You get so much tire spin, it's insane. The car never holds on turns, even if you're trying to gear down and then pull off on the apex. You're stuck with it just being very loose and playful, which is not something that should be like that. So, and especially if you're dealing with like the SUVs that already have the center of balance sway in the vehicle, that just makes it even worse. It almost makes it where you can't even, you know, drive. So that's one thing that I thought was really crappy right off the beginning, was this whole car control. You know, like, it's almost like it'd be like I said, what we were saying before. It'd be like if Ferrari made a car and they didn't put the right tires on it. Of course they're going to put the right tires on it from the beginning. So you shouldn't have these issues if they are built by the manufacturer. So it almost makes me think like they weren't following the manufacturer on the tire aspect and just tossed it out the window, made the same tire for every single car, and then applied it to everything. For me, it's very lazy. Lack of events. That's definitely something I noticed extremely quickly. Extremely quickly. In the sense that, you know, in previous games, you had exhibitions and then you had championships, right? That's not here. All you have is exhibitions. The only time where I noticed that there was championships is when you were dealing with seasons. So the season races, right? Oh, no, I mean, by all means, put the championships in there, but why is there so many exhibitions that don't lead to anything? Did they forget? Is there a championship DLC coming up where they give you the championships to all these cars here or all these tracks here? Or, you know, maybe on the fourth season, they unlock all the championships. I don't quite know, but it's extremely confusing from day one. So whether they add them in or not, it's just confusing how they conveyed it from the day, from the first day. Radio options. Now, this is someone that a friend of mine kind of pointed out, and it truly is, it's almost kind of like an icing on the top when it comes to the game itself. Overall, you're going to find that my theme to this is it seems like the developer took the easy way out. That at the end, they were just like, crap, the release date's right there. Go! And just didn't get it done, right? And the radio is definitely one of the options. In Forza Horizon 3, you had a lot of radio stations, I think five, four or five, maybe even potentially six, I don't know. They all had roughly, I'd want to say about 5 to 10 songs per, with mixed in with a little bit of DJ banter in between, and it broke it up and it was good music. Forza Horizon 4, the music seems okay. Like okay at best. The banter, okay at best. And so you find yourself kind of turning it off quickly. The other aspect in Forza Horizon 3, Microsoft is still pushing their Groove Music. So Microsoft basically owns Turn 10 and they impede or push their agenda on Turn 10. And you see it on Forza Horizon 3 with Groove Music. They wanted to have something like Spotify, something like Pandora. Did it work? Nope, didn't work. Didn't pan out at all. Forza Horizon 4, now they're pushing their Mixer, their streaming service. They're pushing that on you as well. But, sorry, going back to the radio thing, so they realized that Groove Music was dead. Didn't work. I think even by the time those last couple months, they even shut down Groove Music fully, so you couldn't even access it from Forza Horizon 3 if you had it for some reason. If you're one of the unlucky souls to have paid for it, but with growing trends on music, you would assume that the next game either has Spotify link some way, shape, or form because Spotify is now built into the Xbox. You would assume that it would be on there on the system itself. And it's not. It's not even there. Now, let me kind of take a step back, because I know someone's going to be like, well, you can still play the Spotify app, through the Xbox and then turn the music off in Forza and just play. Totally. The difference is when you're a streamer. When you're a streamer, you want to have something to break up the dead air when you're playing a game. If you're not talking or replying back to comments in any way, shape, or form, you want something to break it up other than just the sound of the car. And in Forza Horizon 3, you had all the radio stations that were doing it, and including Groove Music. With Spotify being outside of the game, it doesn't add it into the stream. So the stream will be hearing nothing but your car revving and squealing and turning and all that type of stuff, but you'll be, bouncing away to music, right? That doesn't really it's just it's again, like I was saying before, the whole idea of the developer dropping the ball. You could have done that, but you didn't. Other than the other thing is a convoy. So convoy is your way of linking up with your friends to play. Multiplayer, whether you're playing co-op adventure, all that type of stuff. And it was really confusing to even figure out what that was. The only way that I was able to figure out how to play with my friends was when we were streaming, someone actually pointed it out because it wasn't being pointed out by the game itself. That's not good. That's one thing that's not good. Another thing about it is, let's say we do co-op, right? We're playing the games. If you go into a race where that individual that is, let's say the host, doesn't have a vehicle from that for that race, it immediately kicks them out of the convoy. That's really annoying. That's really annoying because the first thing is you don't know what's going on. You get them back into your convoy. You didn't even know you had the ability to even transfer the leadership of the convoy back to them. But even so, you're having to do that every single time. So it's a very poor run system when it comes to online. The online system in Horizon 3, far better. Also, the servers seem to be way better on 3 than they are on 4. 3, you'd have literally a bunch of people jumping in. You go to load up, the car maybe spins once, and then you're into the game. There seems to be such a slow grind waiting for the allocation of the server. Waiting and waiting and waiting. And that's just something that I don't understand, how we're taking a step forward but taking a step backwards in technology. So that's something I hate. Clubs, you know, since we're talking about the online aspect, the clubs in 4 are, I think, poor in comparison to 3. Here's why I think they're poor. This is back on Microsoft's agenda again. I think Microsoft has realized that their club aspect on their platform is not doing so well. That people aren't really utilizing clubs to interact with each other, to, you know, try to game with each other. The looking for players or looking for games option is not really working well either, because people are using outside sources. You know, probably if I had to make a guess, it's Discord. A lot of people are using Discord, and that's why they tried to integrate Discord into Xbox, but they didn't integrate it to the point that it would override all their systems. They just integrated it so you can actually see that your friend was playing Xbox at that time and what they're playing, right? So it's them trying to protect their own IP, but still kind of moving slightly forward. But with that being said, they already know that the clubs is not doing well. Clubs, however, on Forza Horizon 3 do very well. You have the ability for people to work together, to level up the club, to get, you know, bonuses or anything like that. And it works very well. So what they forced onto Turn 10 was, you're going to use the Microsoft Xbox clubs, not your clubs that are built in the game. Which is really stupid. Because when you go to access your club, it kicks you out of the game, into the club on Xbox. And there just seems to be a whole slew of syncing issues with that. Whereas, like, you'll set your club tag at something, and it will just change almost daily between different symbols and different letters and different numbers. And you're just like, what is going on? I know us here at the network, we built the club 5 times because we weren't sure if it was ever going to go back to the original tag that we wanted. So we just kept building club after club after club and have to delete the other one and build the next one. It's not fun. And you, like I said, you already had something online where you could see your club's level and to what it was already going to be moving towards on 3. On 4, you have no ability to do that. And then also, for a streamer aspect, if you are inviting people to your clubs or managing your clubs, if you're streaming directly through the Xbox, when you move to the club, it turns your screen to an away screen on Twitch. So it's another thing that's just like, why did you do this? Why did you do this? Moving forward, houses. The houses and businesses. I think this was a good idea that was kind of maybe suggested from the community, but it wasn't implemented to its fullest. So you would have people, I remember doing it with some friends of mine as well, you'd do things where you would, I guess it's some small version of LARPing, which is live action role-playing. And you're basically driving around, but you're not racing. You're just kind of driving the speed limit, enjoying the scenery, driving to your house and all that type of stuff. And you'd pick a house and be like, this is my house, right? I think that's where they picked it up off, but it wasn't implemented correctly. So you have houses throughout Horizon 4. And when you buy these houses, you get small minor perks, but you get the ability to fast travel from house to house to house, you know, or back to your house at least, which is kind of good as well. I didn't like that they put the whole changing your car and changing maybe tunes and changing paints and changing your character's clothes at the house. I almost felt like they did that because they didn't really know what to do with the houses after they thought of the idea. They thought, okay, we're going to have these houses because people like to have houses. They'll get some bonus off having them. Oh, crap, we should put more stuff into it. And so they put all this other stuff into it that pulled it out of the fast action menus and then made you forcefully go to these locations. Not really something I like. Businesses. So businesses are the opportunity for you to generate income by owning them. But it seems to be there's not many of them. So they need to add a lot more if that's going to be a thing. I think they probably picked that up off of Grand Theft Auto. And it's a great idea that would be implemented into Forza. Who doesn't want more ways to build revenue? But it's not effectively done right now, so they need to tweak that. Well, I mean, since we're just talking about revenue in Horizon, let's talk about that. The way you make money in Horizon is slow, extremely slow, like molasses. For me, an individual that always buys the Ultimate Edition, I always get the VIP. So what that does is it doubles your credits. When you are, let's say you win a race, you get double credits. Let's say you do a wheel spin, you get double credits. However, with Horizon 4, you're no longer getting double on your Horizon spins, which are annoying, completely annoying. And you're not generating that much money off of the races anyways. So you're making money extremely slow, and I'm using VIP. I can only imagine how slow money would be generated if you didn't have VIP. The game would almost be unplayable to a certain extent. Because if you wanted to, let's say, buy a car, you're going to have to save up a lot. Now, I did hear that they brought the prices of cars down, but it's still, right? Like, it's like, that's, I don't know why they changed that. You had such a perfect system in Horizon 3. Changing it to 4 makes no sense to me. Seasons. Okay, so that is for me right now the plus side on the seasons. You get into the game, and by certain influences, you shift the season. People that have only been playing the game for a little bit will assume that that's what it's always like. It's not always like that. Once you get through all the seasons, you get into something called the Horizon roster, and at that point, that's when the seasons change based upon days. So it'll be like about 4 to 5 days, and the season will switch over, and then keep switching based upon that length amount of time, not based upon your influence. But like I said, it's something that I think is very unique and good to Horizon, because you are going to have races that are going to be in January. You are going to have races that are going to be in August, and they shouldn't be identical. The weather and all that type of stuff shouldn't be identical. So I think that's fantastic that they have this ability to kind of almost bring like almost a living world to Horizon. I think that's great. Showcases. Okay. Showcases. This is for some people that have been playing Forza for a while. You'll understand where this comes from. A long time ago. In a land far, far away. No, just kidding. A long time ago, I think it was on, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say it was like Forza Motorsport 4 or 5. Somewhere in there. It could even be 3. But this was at the pinnacle of Top Gear's empire. For people that don't know what Top Gear is, it's an auto show from the UK on the BBC, where it's three individuals that are reviewing vehicles, doing crazy challenges, doing lap times. It's like a car guy's heaven show. It's fantastic. Now, unfortunately, it's been ripped apart by the BBC because they just didn't like how things were panning out, which is really weird because the audience loved it, the corporate didn't. And they still pulled it apart. They had differences with some of the individuals on the show, and they could never mend them. So things just kind of pulled apart. And now the individuals are moved over to a show on Amazon. which I can't even think of the name right now. It's like Grand Tour or Grand Touring, something like that. I think it's Grand Tour. I haven't had a chance to watch it because I have no access to Amazon Prime Video. But anyways, and the people that are right now on, I think, I don't know if they still have Top Gear UK, but if so, they're not doing well. I know they have Top Gear America and it's terrible. It's got Joey from Friends. Matt LeBlanc, sorry. Yeah, so I should just say his name instead of just where he comes from. But anyways, kind of going back to what I was saying before, you know, whether it's Motorsport 3, 4, 5, this is the pinnacle of Top Gear. And so what they did is they brought these, you know, James, Richard, and Jeremy onto the game in some way, shape, or form, right? Especially Jeremy Clarkson. And they brought the ideals of Top Gear into Forza as well. So it was pretty cool because you had, you know, Jeremy kind of breaking down what a car was and what made it really what it was. What is the spirit of that car? And you felt more connected to the car that way when through the Auto Vista, which I think is now called Forza Vista. But, you know, so they had that. That was one thing. They also had the Stig, and you had to go and do, like, you know, they had like this. So the Stig is an individual that does race times. He's the, you know, the person to beat on this one small course. So you have to try to beat him and beat his times, right? So they had that in the game. But they also had some of these crazier, you know, challenges that they had on the show brought into the game, like where is your car racing a train, your car racing a boat, your car racing a plane, right? And it was just really cool. So that's where what you guys see for showcases come from. But now it's evolved so far from that you don't even know where the foundation was. You don't actually feel as blown away by what's going on. I think probably by Horizon 4, you should understand at this point that whatever vehicle you're racing against, whether it's the hovercraft or the plane or whatever, you're going to beat them by an extremely small margin. Why? Because the race is calculated that way. So it kind of takes away the victory from you because you know. You already know that it's going to be within seconds. It's going to be within, like, you know, like, yeah, within seconds or milliseconds. It's not going to be large gaps. The best of the best will get through the game, but or get through the race, but you're still going to be within seconds or milliseconds. So it kind of takes the whole victory away from you before you even start. And now it just seems like they're kind of just flipping a coin to get you know, to what to race and how to race it, you know. So not really something that I really like now, but I mean it's okay, I guess. The last two things I have written here, one is the boards. So in previous games, what you do is you hit these boards, and as you're hitting these boards, it's taking down the cost that it would cost you to fast travel. So you could fast travel from one location to the next. Like, let's say you're in the bottom right and you want to start working on events from the top left. You could fast travel over, and based upon the amount of boards you've hit through that time, you can fast travel cheaper. Now, not so much. You can't even fast travel until you buy a specific house. So the boards are almost useless. Yes, you can fast travel to the festival. Yes, you can fast travel to your house. But you can't fast travel to specific roads until you buy a house, which literally takes away one of the main uses of the boards. But you still have the boards there. I didn't understand that. That made no sense to me. And another thing that I was, you know, kind of talking about the, you know, I guess structure of the game is I thought it was A, really weird that you only have one Horizon Festival. Only one. In previous games, you unlock anywhere from four to five. And then with the DLC, they each have one, right? So it was just another thing where it's just like, why didn't you put in more festivals to kind of push forward? And even in previous games, in like one, two, and I think they still had it in three, you had wristbands. Wristbands unlock more races. That's not there either. It just seems to be like, oh, you just got to this level. Here's all these races. But there's nothing. And, even with previous times, you had the wristbands that were actually coloring your driver level. Now you just have colors for the sake of colors. The red at the top doesn't mean you're a red wristband anymore. It just means you're getting up there, you're up into the red numbers. It doesn't mean anything anymore. It's lost more of its meaning. So that's kind of more things that I didn't like about that. It takes away the get up and go, the drive, to push forward. It's I always liked before in racing games, you start off in like the Honda Civics, the VW Golfs, and you work your way up to the Ferraris. Not you come into the game and you buy a Ferrari. Like that's what's the point? Like what's the point of that? Like you're losing all of your feeling of, success. It's being taken out. And that's what games are all about. Games are about winning and getting that sense of accomplishment, and taking that away. Like, what's the point? What's the point of playing it, right? The last one is sound. So this is something that I've experienced so many times, and I don't understand how this is happening in this game, as opposed to other games, right? Especially when we're talking about Horizon, where a lot of the cars sound the same. A lot. Especially the hypercars, supercars, those engines all sound extremely similar, where it's really kind of odd because you can just take the information you have from motorsport and carry it over. Doesn't take a lot. Just carry it over. Just grab the code and move it over. So that's something that it was not done well. However, here's where the issue really gets into play. You will be driving sometimes, and I would say it happens not all the time, maybe 25% of the time or less, maybe 20% of the time. Let's say you strain the vehicle, you're, pushing hard in third gear, and then you go to cut left and you squeal the tires. There's times where there'll be layers of sounds that will max out the game. And what I mean by that, when I say max out the game, is it will lock the sound at a constant, regardless of what's going on. So it basically freezes the sound. So it'll sound like your car is frozen in third gear as you're going between one, two, three, four, five. You won't hear yourself stopping. You won't hear Anna, the GPS unit. You'll just hear your car in third gear until another layer of audio comes in. That's new, whether you hit an item or stop all the way down to like maybe the sound ratios that would be down in the idling aspect, and that breaks the sound frozen. And you'll hear like the sound trying to catch up through all the sounds you were supposed to hear at the time that you're supposed to hear them, but it'll just kind of speed through them and then catch you back out to where you're at. This happens more than you think, and it shouldn't happen at all. It shows A, a lack of quality control, and B, what did you do from the previous game that has changed everything? That allows this to even happen, right? So that's something that I don't understand. The other aspect that it happens at is when you are squealing tires, you might actually get to the point where you'll just hear your tires squealing, even though you're driving straight, slowing down, speeding up, but it sounds like you're taking a good hard left. So those are things that just shouldn't happen. Sorry. Ultimately, that's kind of what I think of Forza. I mean, I wanted this opportunity to rant. I know that Darren at Revolver GN did his review. I know he's potentially thinking about doing another review later down the road. But I just wanted to get my voice out there, and I wanted to take a break from, the entrepreneur and the personal growth aspects here at My Lemonade, and just kind of give you my voice. Should you buy the game? In my opinion, if you're going to be buying Forza Horizon 4, buy the standard version. Do not buy the super expensive version. Now, don't get me wrong, my review may change when the DLC starts to drop. It could be. Those two DLCs or three DLCs that they potentially drop could be so amazing that it changes my stuff back from 6 to, an 8. I don't see it going from a 6 to a 10. That's got to be some mind-blowing DLC. But who knows, right? That's how I feel today, is just the fact that you should buy the standard edition. Do not waste your money on the ultimate edition. That's a waste of money. But again, like I said, that's kind of my view on everything. I really do appreciate everybody tuning in. And if you do have ideas what you want me to talk about, whether it be about games, you want me to rant about a game that's coming out or has come out, or a game that I own, or, you know, kind of give me, you know, you want to see my views on your favorite game, let me know in the comments below. I read all the comments right now to try to get some feedback as to what we're doing here. So definitely hit me up in below. Whatever platform this happens to be on. I know it goes out on 6 platforms, but definitely check it out. Or if you want, you can even put it into the feedback channel. If you are part of Revolver GN, put it right into the feedback channel on the Discord, and I will read there as well, and I will go ahead and do an episode based upon that as well. We do have some other entrepreneur topics to come up in the future, supplied by Ashley Bassini. So that will still come to Rise. I'm going to be doing another podcast with Brittany that helped out last time with the depression topic. We're going to be talking about empathy versus apathy. So that's coming up in the future as well. And then we'll have many more guests, maybe some guests from the network to come on to talk about stuff that's going on in the network, or even just games that they're playing, liking, not liking, whatever have you. So until next time, enjoy the rest of your week. See ya.